So Rashi in the beginning of Parsha Shlach tells us that the spies made the terrible mistake of not learning from Miriam in last week's Parsha, her Lashon Hara. And therefore we have another Parsha 2 weeks in a row with the union of Shmiras HaLashon, being careful in the laws of how we speak about others. And we're going to connect it again to the issue of Shidduchim. So this time we're going to discuss the guide for the questioner. Last time we discussed the guide for the questionee, the one who is asked. Now we're going to discuss how does one go about looking into a shidduch, whether you're looking into it for one's own children, whether you were called up and said, do you know this family in your neighborhood? Could you please make a phone call and find out about what this boy, this girl, what's going on? So what are the parameters of such a situation? And also, what is the source? Is there a source to look into the shidduch? Are we making ourselves crazy? Should we just say, oh, you know, it's a guy and a girl, they're both breathing and they're both Jewish, so, you know, Shalom Yisrael, let him figure it out. Rabbi Krohn tells a wild story about a young man who was set up by his aunt who worked in an office with another lady, and she says, oh, I want to try something out, a shidduch. And they set up the guy and the girl, and the guy gets into the car and he's talking for the first 5 minutes and she doesn't say anything. And he's talking, she's quiet the whole time. So they figured out after 10 minutes that she didn't speak English. And the people who set them up said, it's a Jewish guy, Jewish girl, whatever, the most from, whatever it is, let's make it happen. You have to investigate a little bit. That's obviously an extreme. You have to look in a little bit to what's going on. The Avos Rabbi Nassan writes in Perech Avav, the Avos Rabbi Nassan, we don't have it on the sheet. Sorry, apologize. The halacha is on the sheet. The Musra will keep at the beginning. The Avos Rabbi Nassan writes, Hanose Yishu She'ena Hogeneslo, one who marries a spouse who is not appropriate for them, over Mishum Chamish Alavin, you violate 5 Isurim. Mishum Lo Sikom, to not take revenge, mishum lo sitor, another type of revenge, mishum lo sisnas achicha bilvavechet, not hate another Jew, mishum vehatrecha kamocha, or mishum vechay achicha imach, you have to live with another person, mitoch shesoniosa, rotsu shetamus, mevatel privirim in olam. You're going to end up coming to dislike your spouse, you're going to wish terrible things upon them, you're not going to have children, and the whole thing's going to fall apart. A person who does not look into a shidduch to the right amount and the right degree is making a mistake. You have to do some type of inquiry to make sure the two people are compatible. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Torah Moshe, in the Parsha of Eliezer, the servant of Avram, on the Pasuk of Simna Tachas Yerechi, he says, the reason the Torah spends so much time on the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rachel is to teach Bnei Yisrael the importance of making sure you marry the right person. All this ink is spilled. Eliezer repeats the whole story again. The parsha is so long because the whole repetition twice. Why? To inform us and drive home, you have to look into the shidduch. You have to spend time. The Gemara, the end of Maseches Tamid, writes, Ezu Chacham Haroa Es Hanolad. You have to look into the future a little bit, if possible. The Pele Yoetz writes, under the rubric, the category of shidduch, he says that a person should take great care when looking into a shidduch. You should look at the person's relatives, learn about their nature, their midos, and when searching for a spouse, he says, it's not like looking for an article of clothing that you simply take off, we don't want it anymore. I bought a shirt, I don't like, I made a mistake, I didn't buy the right shirt. So I take off the shirt and I go get another shirt. That's not what happens when you marry somebody. You have to take care, a little bit more introspection than buying a pair of pants off the rack in the store. A little bit more than that. He says, L'chein yipakeach einav ad asher lo yavo miyimei hara. Open your eyes so you don't end up with bad days ahead. And therefore one has to look into these things. What is the heter exactly? So here, you have the Chafetz Chaim in front of you. Most of what we're going to say is based on the Chafetz Chaim that we have over here in Hilchos Lashon Hara in Klal Dalad Perek Yud Aleph. Oh, should I give them all away? There we go. No? I didn't share? Okay. So the Chafetz Chaim says that in order to find a shidduch, you must look for the good qualities in the person. And he says as follows. He says, Da'od. Iker gadol binyanim elu. I want to tell you a big thing. Im echad rotel hachnisas chaver binyano. If a person wants to deal with another person, to be involved, to go on, the sachra lemalachso, to hire him for work, olusha teachimo, to have a business partnership, ola sos shidduch imo, or to make a shidduch, v'chol kaya gavne, anything like this, afdu lo shama lav adat hashumra, even if you've never heard anything bad about the person until this point. Maybe you'll say, ah, that's only if I heard something about this guy, this girl, this family. But even if you didn't hear anything bad, you should go and look into it. Afilu hachi, mutter lidrosh v'lachkor eitzel anashim al mehusa v'yano. It is mutter to go and ask people about the nature of this individual. After yachol liyoshi yisapro l'gnuso, even though they may end up saying negative things, afilu hachi mutter. It's mutter, says the Chavetz Chaim. Kevin de kavanoso l'tovas atzma levad, it is for a toelas. It's for a benefit, to make sure you don't end up in a bad place. Kedei shelo yitztarech achakach lavo liyidei hezek liyidei matzo meriva b'chil Hashem. You're going to come to fighting and make a chil Hashem if you don't. Chas v'shalom. Says the Chavetz Chaim. It's mutter. One should look into shidduchim and inquire about the other side when necessary. So the Chavetz Chaim writes in the Be'er Mayim Chaim here in Os Mem Dalet. He says, what's the hetzer? So he says, the Gemara in Shavuos tells us, he spent a long time in the Gemara in Shavuos, but essentially, the Gemara in Shavuos says, someone who takes an oath to claim that he doesn't owe any money. So the Gemara says, if he says, I'll take the oath, so the people there standing recite the pasuk, Suruna me'alo haleana shema resham e'la, we should leave these Rishayim who are making an oath. So the Gemara then explains, not only is the person taking the oath called a Rasha for being in a position to take an oath, but even the claimant who's forcing him to swear is also called a Rasha. Why is he a Rasha? I'm the one who wants my money back. I'm not forcing him to do anything. He owes me money. Why is that my fault? So look at the Rashi. If you count on 1, 2, 3 lines at the end of the here piece in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, Rashi there says over here, Rashi says, Shishnehem, that both of them are nanashim ba shalo dictate limsor mamono biyad neman uvoli dechil Hashem. He says, the lender, the claimant of the money, is a fool, and he's a Rasha, because he should have looked into the business dealings first. If you end up in court because the person who owes you money won't give it back to you because you didn't do your due diligence to make sure you're a responsible person, then that's your fault, and you're held responsible for causing that person to make an oath. You're a fool. Why didn't you take care of yourself, says the Gemara, says Rashi there in the Gemara. So we see from Rashi that a person who enters into an agreement without proper investigation is called a Rasha. And therefore, says the Chavetz Chaim, reason number one, while it's mutter to investigate a shidduch. He then says that lo shafkes chayid l'chol b'riya. He writes in the next paragraph, he says it's not possible to make a partnership without investigating the other side. Forget the drasha, Rashi's drasha, about why the person is a Rasha by an oath. He says, it's illogical to say that the Torah would demand that two people make a partnership or two people marry without investigating. It's just a foolish thing. Just al pi svara, just seichel. How could you have two people who know nothing about each other and they're going to get married and they're going to live together, but you don't know any personal information before they go out, you want to make a deal between the two people? How could the world exist in such a way? Of course you have to look into it, says the Chavetz Chaim. The third and final thing the Chavetz Chaim says is, if you don't allow investigating the other side, it will lead to machlokas, and the Torah says, v'chol nesivo se'a shalom. The Torah has passive peace. You're setting yourselves up for machlokas if you don't investigate. Reason number three. The last reason I saw in the Sefer Bayom Shiyadubar. Bayom Shiyadubar is a kuntres on Shidduchim and Lashon Hara. And he says that the Gemara in Kedushin Mamal says it's usher to marry somebody unless you, we all know the Gemara, unless what? Chicken. You have to see them first. Why, says the Gemara? It's a violation of V'yafrecha Kamocha. Shemi Yagana, perhaps you're going to find the person unattractive and you're not going to be so nice, and at the end of the day you're going to be mean. So says the Sefer Bayom Shiyadubar, you're just about not being nice investigating. Sometimes we feel the person who's investigating is the jerk, right? Oh, asking all these questions, wants to know, we're trying to find out. Again, in the right limit, in the right place. But no, that's v'hatrecha kamocha. They're being responsible. They don't want to end up in a situation where they're going to be sad and upset at the end of the day. Says the Chavetz Chaim, there are not one, not two, but three conditions we're going to go through and discuss that you must have when asking questions about shidduchim. Let's begin with the first condition. The first condition is that that a person asking must begin by stating that he's calling about a shidduch. You cannot simply try to weasel around and find information like you are a CIA agent and try to get information out and don't say it's for a shidduch. You must tell the person why you are asking. And if you don't tell the person, it's an Isra Lashon Hara on their behalf, and it's a violation of Lifnei Iver, because you're causing them to speak Lashon Hara. If the person answering the question thinks they're speaking Lashon Hara, even though the questioner knows it's L'Toeles, it's still Lashon Hara. Understand? You're asking, it's L'Toeles. You want all the juicy information. You don't want any person to cover anything up, so you're not going to say why you're calling. You just want the person to gossip on and tell you all the good things you need to know. So the person on their end thinks they're speaking Lashon Hara. You know it's L'Toeles. It's 100% Lashon Hara on their end if they think they're doing an Avera, or they're aware they're doing an Avera, they're speaking Lashon Hara. Says the Chafetz Chaim, as we'll discuss the sugi in a moment, it's no different than the person who thinks that they're eating treif, but they're really eating kasher. Such a person needs kapara, says the Gemara. You thought you were having McDonald's, but really it was 100% kosher delight. I assume there's a quality equivalence between the two. So you thought you were having one, but it was really kosher. So at the end of the day, says the Chafetz Chaim, you need kapara, because you thought you were doing an avera. Because the person responding has kavana to defame the subject, it's a maisa iser, not a maisa hetzer. In the Haggah, there the Chafetz Chaim continues to say, maybe you'll claim that if I say I'm calling about a shidduch, the guy's not going to talk. How am I going to get real information? The guy says, oh, you're calling about a shidduch, oh, the best family, the best guy, he's a masmin and a bal midos, and he does tamchei Shabbos, and there's all the time. And he wants the shidduch to go through. But if you don't tell him why you're calling, maybe he'll speak honestly about the characteristics of this individual. So he says it's not a hetzer, because you can't give a nazir wine in order to make a profit. You can't say, oh, I'm going to give the nazir wine, but I make a profit. You can't profit off an iser. So too, the laws of Shemir Salash are not less weighty, and you cannot benefit from an iser. However, he does suggest the following. The Chafetz Chaim says, you can ask the person a question and ask him to tell you the truth and promise and tell him, I can't tell you why, but I need to know it's L'Toeles. It's for an important thing. And promise you won't reveal the response to anybody. I promise it'll just be between you. Just, I need to know about this family, this individual. And then, after he gives you the information, you can tell if it's for a shidduch. And then reveal to him why you need to know at the end of the day. So you got the information, and then you'll tell him it was for a shidduch. And then he says, in the Ber Maim Chaim and Klal Vavanos Gimel, that if you overhear someone speaking Lashon Hara, you're allowed to listen in if you think there's a toelis that will come from it. A hetzer from the Chafetz Chaim. If you're sitting on a bus, you're sitting at a dinner, and you see your listen to your partners, they're talking about somebody, and you're like, oh, my cousin, whatever, is going out, or my daughter, or my son, whoever is going to be going out with them, and you want to listen to what's going on. So says the Chafetz Chaim, it's 100% mutzer to listen in. And it's not lifnei iver. Why? Because the person is speaking it regardless. You're not setting him up. They're speaking Lashon Hara anyway. You're gating the information L'Toeles. They're speaking the information anyway, and therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, you're allowed to listen in. Comes from Nissen Karel. Yeah. What? Stop. You need information. Let's tell us. Again, not all the time. Not, in this case where they're talking about something that's good for you to know, so you can listen in. You don't have to stop them. Comes from Nissen Karel from the Chutshani and Hilchos Lashon Hara, and he says that even if the Bachar is not in Shidduchim yet, you can listen in. Because it may be beneficial later on. Even if it's a suffix toeles, this may be information that's beneficial, you can listen in to the conversation at that time. At the end of the day, so what do you do over here? It's a tough situation over here regarding getting information out of somebody and wanting the real information, not wanting them to cover up. So I saw Rav Moshe Kaufman in the Nesivas Chaim. It's a beautiful parish on Chafetz Chaim. So at the end, he has a kuntras on Shidduchim. So Rav Moshe Kaufman writes that it's not easy to decide what to do when you know that if you ask the friends of the subject about the Shidduch, they're going to answer to the benefit of the subject. Right? Honestly, you pick up a resume and it says, "Call. These are my three friends. These are my mechaneches from seminary. This is my Rebbe. This is my shul rabbi." We get calls all the time. Do you think the person they put on the resume is going to say something bad about them? Why would they put them on the resume? They're not going to get the full story. Hopefully you're going to get the proper information. But you want to know, really, you want to do proper investigation. Is there something serious in the family? Is there something serious about the person? All these types of information. So they may say that the batlan is really a big masmid. Or the guy who, you know, pushes old lady across the street is the biggest Baal Chesed. So what are you gonna, how are you gonna get the real information? He says it's tough. You're not allowed to lie about your motivation for asking. Therefore, he says, you have to speak with people who have integrity, or a close friend you trust, or a person who would be embarrassed to be caught lying. And he says, you have to find good people. That's what you gotta do. You have to go off the what it says on the resume, go off the list, and find people that you trust, people who know them, people who can be a good go-between the two people, the subject you want to talk about, the person who knows you very well, who's going to be honest to you. But you can't ever lie, says the Chafetz Chaim, that's the halacha, about why you want the information at the end of the day. Now, this has an aspect, let's just discuss the sugya of the machshava ra. Right? The Chafetz Chaim said, it's no different than the person who's eating the treif, but thinks it's kosher. So there's a fascinating Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim at the end of Parshas Vayechi. The pasuk says, V'yatem cheshavtem alai ra'a Elohim chashva l'tova. Right? You thought, says Yosef to the brothers, you were doing something bad by selling me down to Mitzrayim. But really, in Hashem's mind, it turned out being good. The brothers are like someone, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, who tried to give poison to someone, and instead they served him wine. And says the Or HaChaim, the brothers are not chayv at all for what they did, even min Hashemayim. Because they tried to do something bad, but at the end of the day, it turned out to be good. So they ask him, the Or HaChaim, what about the Gemara Nazir? The Gemara Nazir said, Chaf Gimel, that if you try to do an aveir, like eating treif, and you end up eating kasher, you need kapara. So how does the Or HaChaim fit with the Gemara Nazir? Just to tell, oh, there's a wild story. One of Rav Zilberstein's farm. Again, it's hard to know if the stories are true, but Rav Zilberstein tells the story of the Mechaneches, who was called by the family in Yerushalayim about a shidduch, about the girl, and they said about the teacher said, the principal said, whatever, she's could be better. You know, she could be, she could work on the meat of MS a little bit. You know, there's what to work on. So she hung on the phone. She felt terrible. She didn't know what to do, but that was the truth, and she wanted to call and apologize. Well, at the end of the day, 5 days later, she got a call. Mazel tov, the shidduch went through for the girl with this family. So they called. So she goes to the vart. She's very curious. She goes over to the mother of the girl and says, "My mother, the guy," and says, "I'm so sorry. I apologize. It's really good family. You know, she's really good. I wasn't the whole truth." So she said, "No, what you said was perfect. My husband and my son, they have some shady business dealings. So we need somebody in the family who can go along with the family business and can be able to hold the secrets and keep along with what the family does. We're a little bit shady, so it's the bright person in the family." So the woman asked for Zilberstein, "Did I speak Lashon Hara? Because I said something bad." At the end of the day, it's hard to see what the child is, because what she answered was Latorah, she told the truth. But at the end of the day, also is good for the family. It was a benefit for the shidduch. So if you speak Lashon Hara, but it ends up being a positive at the end of the day, I guess the same discussion as well. So what do we do over here? Comes the Tshuvas Beit Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Shmelkus writes in Yoredei Simin Ches, also the Kloizenberg Rebbe in the Divrei Tziv in Yoredei Simin Samach Zayin, that if you have Kavana for an Aveira, and you end up doing something Pariv, neither good or bad, you'll be punished for your Kavana. I wanted to have McDonald's, it ended up being Kosher Delight. It's not a mitzvah to have kosher delight. It might not be an aveira to have kosher delight. So that was wrong because I did something parav. I didn't do a mitzvah. Therefore, I'm going to need kapara. However, if I did something with a machshava ra, but I ended up doing a mitzvah at the end of the day, then you won't be punished at all. That's how they fit the two together. If I end up doing a mitzvah with machshava ra, then it cancels it out at the end of the day. So the Prima Gadim writes in Arachaim and Shin Chav Ches, you have kavana to go fishing on Shabbos. You can't go fishing on Shabbos. It's a malach of tzad, to trap something. And I throw out my net, and when I pull my net in, I capture, or I pick up, and I save a drowning child. I didn't know the child was there. So says the Prima Gadim, am I chayav for tzad? Along, my kavana was tzad, but I did a ma'isa tzad at the end of the day. So the Prima Gadim says, we don't consider it as an avera. because he did a mitzvah. The mitzvah canceled out the avera of sending out your net. The machshava ra to fish on Shabbos was canceled by the mitzvah of saving the child. So comes Rosh Sterbach in the Shulas Vanagos and Chela Gimel and Tafai and Tess, and explains that kavana turns a maisa reshus into an iser. However, with a maisa mitzvah, a machshava cannot turn into an iser. So if that's the case, why does the Chavetz Chaim say that someone who's speaking toeles, but for things as an aveir, it's still a problem? The guy's doing a maisa mitzvah. He's helping out with the shidduch. It's the toeles. His machshava is ra. Why is that bad? He's doing a maisa mitzvah. He's not doing something pariv. He's doing a mitzvah. He's helping out a shidduch. So the Sefer Torah Halashon writes, in the name of Rav Sternbach, that based on this, it is usher to be lenient against the Chavetz Chaim, and therefore you must always reveal to the person you're asking that the question is for a shidduch. And says Rav Sternbach, only in a place of great need can you rely on the approach that's mutter to ask information when the person doesn't know why you're asking at the end of the day. A similar yesod is found in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. They quote Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Perek Lamed Beis. He says that he quotes a Shamati Me'agon Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Denira De'adif Tfeila Asos Hamalacha De Shomer Mitzvah Shekavanasu LeMitzvah. You always want to have somebody who's going to have to be Michal Shabbos to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Why? Because their Kavana is the Shem Hatzalah on Shabbos. Their Kavana is for a Maisa Mitzvah on Shabbos. And therefore that pushes whatever Aveira and turns into a Mitzvah. There's a comment of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi writes in Parsha Shmos this idea as well. The Beis HaLevi says, if a person who never keeps Shabbos, needs now to be Mechal, is now going to drive on Shabbos to save somebody's life, it's not considered a mitzvah pikuach nefesh for them on Shabbos. Because for them, there's no kavana that they're overriding Shabbos. For them, it's all the same at the end of the day. It's better if you need to choose between the frum Hatzalah guy to go be Mechal Shabbos or the guy who's not frum, better to choose the frum person. Because they're going to have kavana that this mice is done for the Shem Mitzvah. As opposed to the other person who's not going to know any different. The same idea at the end of the day. So that's condition number one, the person has to know. Condition number two, the Chavetz Chaim says, you may not ask someone who doesn't like the subject being discussed. If you know that this family doesn't like that family, don't call them. You may not call them. It doesn't have to be an enemy of the subject in order to be excluded. It could just be someone who isn't fond of the subject. So there's tension between the two sides. It could be a competitor as well in business. Okay, you're a dentist, I'm a dentist, but we're going for the same clients. So don't ask dentist A about dentist B, because there's competition. They might be very nice to each other, but there's a sense where they might want the upper hand. You shouldn't ask them. Rashi says in Bereishis Perek Gimel that every professional dislikes his competitor, and the issue that the person being questioned may not tell the truth. Maybe they'll tell the truth, but in their mind it'll be l'shem lashon hara, not l'toeles, as well at the end of the day. I saw in a few places in the name of Rav Yashav, they said that Rav Yashav felt you're allowed to ask another guy in yeshiva or another girl who's also in shidduchim. Because you may think, they're going to be jealous. They don't want, that should be my shidduch. I want to go out with the guy. I want to go out with the girl. Maybe that's like a competitor. So Rav Yashav says, no, everyone's l'shem shemayim. Nobody's trying to undermine somebody else's shidduch. In that regard, they're friendly. Same seminary, same yeshiva. That's not considered a competitor at the end of the day. Rav Nissen Karelis writes in the Chodshani that this exclusion is the case even if there's no one else to ask. Even if the only person you can ask is someone who doesn't like that person, you may not ask them because it's going to be Lashon Hara. Rav Moshe Shamash, I saw in the Sefer Kuntres Zihiris from Lashon Hara B'Shidduchim, makes a very strong point about inquiries into divorced or broken Shidduchim. This is a very important point he makes. Listen to this. He says, L'chein asr l'sh'ol l'grosh al grushasa o l'hefach. You may not ask regarding a shidduch, the other side of a divorce. You may not call them regarding information. L'chein asr l'sh'ol misha azav shidduch al tzad sheni. You may not call the other person who is a part of a broken shidduch as well. They are not reliable because they're not going to speak l'toelis 100%. Kevin should be derech klal yesh lehem tina o sina kalpe atzad sheni. There's going to be something. Don't ask the family of the broken shidduch about this person. Don't ask the family of the divorcee about the other side. There's other people to call. There's other friends. There's other people you can contact. Teachers, you know, rabbis, other people to call. Don't call the other person because it's going to be lashon hara. Hagam shiomer lecha befiv shetshuvah so einan machmas sinah. They'll tell you, we're on a good terms. There's no way it's going to be completely clean. It's important to know the reason for the divorce or the breaking of the shidduch. Because you don't want that to be an issue going into your shidduch and your marriage. To go to the rabbis, to go to the rebbetzin, who were involved, who were counseling the couple, who were involved in the process, they'll know what was going on. And they'll tell you if something's the same way. But please, 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 don't call the jilted side in the divorce or the shidduch. Not a proper address. I saw in the Gilyon Ner L'Shulchan Shabbos in Parshas Chayisara, they asked Rav Yashiv, a Rosh Yeshiva asked Rav Yashiv, how one should respond about a bachra when it comes to shidduchim. So Rav Yashiv said, you can't lie, and you have to tell the truth. So the Rosh Yeshiva asked Rav Yashiv, so what's emes? So Rav Yashiv said, the good stuff about the person, you should play up 10 times more than the good stuff. The bad stuff, you should play down 100% less about the person. Why? Because the way of people are, is that when you hear praise about somebody, another person, you automatically lower it 10%. They're probably not that good. And the way people are when they hear bad stuff, is they magnify it 100%. So just correct it the other way. Correct the vision the other way. The good stuff, make it more, because the listeners are going to knock it down. And the bad stuff, make it less, because the listeners are going to make it worse. And then at the end of the day, it'll balance out in the proper weights and measures. The third condition, says the Chafetz Chaim, that it's only permissible to be choshesh for what you hear, that perhaps it's true in order to protect yourself. But you may not believe it 100% as fact. And you may not harm the subject based on the information. It's probably the most difficult piece in the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim says, if you hear information, you can't believe it. You can act on it to protect yourself, but you have to think to yourself, I'm doing this l'toeles, I don't know if it's true, and I'm doing it to protect myself. But you can't walk around thinking that this is 100% fact about this person. So the Chutshani writes, Rav Nissen Karel, it says, that if one parent nixes a shidduch, the father gets a call, he investigates, and he hears something that he does not think is appropriate for the shidduch, and based on the information he receives, he stops the shidduch, you may not tell your spouse what it was. Because if the shidduch has been canceled, then what's the point of telling your spouse? Your spouse should also know the guy isn't nice to his parents? Like, what's the point of that? Once the shidduch is in camp, once one of the parents know that it's no good, so that's the end of it. Don't tell the other spouse. The other spouse doesn't tell you, why? What's the problem with it? So you say, I found it as something. I don't think it's good for us. And that's the end of the story. You have to trust me in this way. It's going to lead to unnecessary defamation. The spouse should simply say, he or she looked into the matter, saw it wasn't a good fit. Now, you're allowed to discuss the information if you're trying to decide what to do with it. I found out something about the young man, the woman. I found something about the family. We're concerned. We can now talk as husband and wife to decide, is this something that we want to pursue or not? Is this something that's appropriate to our family, not appropriate for the family? But once you decide a definite no, you may not share with anybody else. Again, they quote Rav Yashiv and the Sefer Yivakish Mipiyu. Also in the Ha'aros and Orchos Chaim and the Chafetz Chaim, they say that if one is asked to serve as a shaliach, to find information, right? Your sister-in-law lives in Detroit, and she says, do you know this family who lives in Woodmere? Can you call them for me? So you want to call, and you're going to find out the information as the shaliach of the family. And so he says that, and that's the case, if you're a shaliach, you need not be concerned about hearing Lashon Hara, even though it's not Latolos for you. It's not my kid. It's my, you know, my nephew, my friend's kid from Detroit. It's not my issue. Says Rav Yashiv and the other commentaries, because this is part of the process. Part of the process is you call a friend who knows a friend, and the friend who knows a friend will find information for you. It's not an issue. It's understood. It's okay. And these are the principles. So just to review, the three rules for one looking into a shidduch are: the first condition is you have to tell the person why you are calling at the end of the day. The second condition is you may not contact somebody who may have something, you know, will have something negative to say or is biased against the person. And the final condition is that the you have to assume the information is not 100% true, even though you can act on it at the end of the day. Okay.